don't let your own ego get in the way of what you're actually putting out, and make sure that you have some truth tellers around you to tell you, hey, here are the two or three things that I think you could do better or different. That has been transformational for me, is to get feedback from people who have my best interest in mind.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams. And today I am joined with Eric Hatch from Hatch Coaching. He helps real estate agents make more money by getting out of the hard work and building a team. And his podcast does that as well. So it's actually called Redefine. Clever way to say it. Redefine, R-E for real estate. And he's redefining how people treat people within the real estate business. And he's got a newish podcast. When I say newish, I mean he's published 5 episodes at the time of our recording. Now, when you listen to this, he might have 20 episodes, but as you hear this, it's coming from him in the beginning stages. And I think that's going to be benefit to you. So you are a new podcaster. You've been doing this for a short amount of time, or you're about to launch it. Eric's learning some things right now. He's going through some things right now. And the problem is, when I try to teach you things on my solo episodes, which you just heard on the last episode, and then the next one that you hear, when I try to teach you things and pour into you, I'm coming from a place of, I've been doing this for over 1,000 episodes. And sometimes I forget some of the hardships, the struggles, what we go through when we first launch. So I invited Eric so he could really talk about what he's learning, what he's improving, what he's changing from that perspective, that I think you'll be more likely to resonate with him. So I'm stoked to have him. Eric, welcome to the show. And I want to ask you, maybe for the first question, I'll say, how long did it take you? Give us that kind of the story of when you wanted to launch this podcast from when you actually published. Was this overnight? Was it 7 years or somewhere in between?
It's always a decade to be an overnight success, isn't it, Adam? I've loved podcasting for a long time, and I've been doing podcasting, but in a different sort of way for probably 7 or so years. My coaching company is intentional on serving real estate leaders. And so we've been putting out shorts and long form webinars and everything else for probably 7 years now, right? Our YouTube channel is stacked with value. We have close to 6,000 subscribers that are on there. And so realistically, I've been interviewing people and having my own educational times consistently, usually once or twice a month for the last 7 years. So it's been a really comfortable space for me to be, but I recognize that podcasting is this platform in which I can now regurgitate the same message in so many different mediums. So the podcast, the videos, the little snippets that can come from it, it made great sense. And in 2019, I wrote my first book. It's called Play for the Person Next to You. It's a leadership book. And the mistake I made, which is so ironic, before you and I jumped on this, you gave me very, very, very great specifics on how I can enhance what I'm doing right now. And foolish for me, even though I've been to the dance before, I forgot the rhythm. I wrote my book in 2019 as a leadership book, thinking I'm going to be on every coffee table in America. And wouldn't you know, I've sold tens of copies. I say that joking. I've sold thousands of copies, right? But I say that because I have to be my own hype person. Nobody's going to hype it like I'm going to hype it. And your podcast, for me, is that same way. I have to be the person that hypes it. But I didn't have a target audience that was identified. I didn't have a clear avatar to who I was speaking to. I just wrote a general leadership book. I failed to understand the expertise that I had and the arena that I had, because I'm like, well, it's all good for everybody. Like, if you can learn this as a real estate team leader, you can learn it as an insurance salesperson and an educator and you name it. But if you don't speak to a specific audience, you miss it, right? There's riches in the niches. And I failed to do that. So I recorded a full season of my podcast. My first podcast that I ever did was called Hatching Leaders. I cleverly put my name on everything. And so I called it Hatching Leaders. And I just did kind of my own audible version of the book. And I put it out there. And once again, I had tens of listeners. Literally, I'm sure I had thousands. But what it came down to it is, I didn't have a specific niche of who I was talking to, and then I didn't hype it well enough. So to your original question, how did I get this idea, or how long have I been dreaming of a podcast? It's been years until I actually pulled the trigger, and now to do it right, I'm still fumbling and stumbling my way through it.
So Man, I have a lot of questions for you. What you
so said, does my wife.
You're still fumbling and stumbling through it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there. But to emphasize parts of your journey, really, you did for a long time, 1 to 2 interviews for like 7 years. You did 1 to 2 per month. You wrote that book into 2019. It wasn't really totally niche down, but you're talking about how important it is. If you want to be on lots of coffee tables, you've got to be your own hype person. You've also got to have a clear understanding of your avatar. Mm-hmm. You need to speak to that audience. And I like the quote that you shared, riches in the niches. You didn't know who, and now you're focusing on who. And I'm curious, like, well, maybe we just go there, or maybe we talk about the who for a second. In your experience, now where you are today, like, if you had to identify your perfect avatar, would you be able to name that person literally by name, or would it be a general idea of a person? Who is your real avatar? Why don't you share that with our listener today?
So my avatar has changed as I've changed and maturated. And I recognize that I was missing a very clear dog whistle. And a dog whistle is a high-pitched frequency that only dogs can hear. A dog whistle is only for dogs. And I want my podcast to be for everybody. I do. I selfishly, I'm like, oh, I want to impact so many lives and I want to get out there and influence. And instead, I'm going to narrow it down. I'm going to go from everybody to realtor. That's one little narrow down and focus. But then I'm going to go from realtor to real estate team leader. So that gets a little more specific. But there are about 1.6 million realtors in the US. Actual number of team leaders. I don't have a specific number that's there, but let's say it's 100,000. Say there's 100,000 people that I'm speaking to. Well, I now have to zoom in even more and say, I don't want every team leader, because if you're leading one person or you're leading 100 people, that's the same category. And that's such a different game to play because you're dealing with different problems and issues. And so now I have to lean in even more so and say, I want to find somebody who's maybe doing $1 to $3 million in GCI annually, right? Like, I'm going to find that.
Now, what would GCI market. Mean for my listener today that's not in your niche? What would you call GCI?
Yeah. So gross commission income is what GCI stands for. And that would speak of all of the actual revenue we're making from commissions and sales. So I live in Fargo, North Dakota, and our average commission is $8,000. So if I want to make $1 million top line, that means I have to sell, what would that be? 120 houses, 125 houses in order to make that top line. But top line and bottom line are very different numbers as well. And therein lies some of the problems that realtors face is they don't know how to do their numbers. They don't know how to measure their numbers. They don't know how to speak to that. And I've cleared myself so much that, like, I've been in this game almost 20 years as a realtor, and I've been a business coach for 7 or 8 years. And I don't get any joy, Adam, from talking to somebody who wants to figure out how to do their numbers and how to sell houses. I find joy because this is a passion project for me, but it's also a profit project. Those are paralleling partners. I only do things that I'm passionate about so long as I have enough profit coming in. If I don't have enough profit coming in, I got to have a profit project before I have a passion project. And so as I lean on it now and I say, this is where I want to focus, I want to work with people who are in that messy middle. And for real estate team leaders, it's usually when they're at about 10 to 15 people and they don't know how to get themselves through this glass ceiling. They see that they need to become a leader and they need to transform how their business operates, but they don't know the steps to take. And that's where I think I can step in and really shine.
Yeah. So you are saying that instead of just being anybody, it's a realtor. And instead of just being a realtor, it's a team leader. And instead of just being a team leader, it's one of those 100,000 people. It's which of those have a gross commission income of 1 to 3 million?
Yeah, a million plus for sure. Yep.
And so you're focused on them. Now, this is where I would like to go, because I know that our listener needs to do this. And I'm hoping that they also need to hear this. For you, as you're looking at your perfect person, 1 million to 3 million, as you're figuring, as you are understanding who you're talking to and narrowing it down and niching down, if we can talk about the psychographic of that human being, of that real estate leader who is making a gross commission of 1 to 3 million, running a team, trying to get out of some of the more busy day-to-day so they can leverage other people's time. Mm-hmm. What are they worried about? What are they going through? What keeps them up at night? What stresses them out? What are the psychographics? What are those things that they're feeling as they, let's call out that avatar and really try to understand like what's behind what motivates and drives them.
Yeah. I want to answer that in just a second. I will say this. My coaching company, we put out a whole bunch of content, and this podcast is one of those extensions of it. We lost our avatar for a while because we saw that we were catering to the top 1% of realtors in the country. And as we catered to that, it was great. And we said, well, there's still 99% of realtors that we aren't catering to. So let's water down our message. Let's try to speak to everyone. And we immediately lost ourselves and we lost the North Star of our company. So we spent way more time and energy chasing after people that were harder to convert. We thought it would be easier because we thought we had credibility. It was harder to convert those people, and they churned and burned so much faster because we were diluting it. So in that, I'm going to go to your original question, Adam. We found that as we're giving this voice out, there are two major pains that every real estate agent and real estate team leader is dealing with. When we speak to the team leader, we catch those that are aspirational and that wants to have that next chapter in their life. And so we actually cater to the 99% when we just speak to the 1%. But if we speak to the 99%, we miss the 1%, and the 1% pays more than the 99 does all day, every day. But the two pains that they're dealing with in this industry, you're screwed if you're successful and you're screwed if you're not.
Why is it bad to be successful?
If you're successful, you lose all your time. At least your first iteration of success. And that's where most people are in this messy middle, is they have given their unintentional soul to this business, and it has become such a lifestyle that they turn around and they said, I was doing this for my family and I don't see my family anymore. There's a heavy irony in this business. And I'm sure there is in every other business, right? As an entrepreneur, you pour into something and then you immediately look to say, well, this is not what I intended it to be. So you're screwed if you're not, of course, because you don't have any time or money. If you are successful, you lose your time. And so most people are dealing with the pains of they don't have enough time and they don't have enough money. And the heart of it is we can label things. And I've learned from you, even in our brief conversation, that the labeling of things matters a lot. And if you talk about leadership, I'm not sure people get all excited about it. If you talk about money and time, it seems like people are like, well, that's the problem that I'm facing with. And when you recognize, as you peel the layers of the onion back, they actually have leadership problems. And that's why they're dealing with complications of money and time. They don't know how to lead themselves. They're bad at leading a business, and it simply compounds. But the label of it, of saying, hey, you need to be a better leader, doesn't draw near in as much to say, would you like to make more money in less time?
Yeah. I have another way of saying that part. So when you talk about leadership, it doesn't get a whole bunch of results. It doesn't pull people in. When you talk about time and money and getting back your time, making more money, not spending too much money, when you're talking about like these pain points of time and money, you get results, people listen. When you talk about the pros, people don't always listen. And I always think about it as like, in a way, it's like the advertising or the messaging, it has to have some of those psychographic, like those negatives, in order to have somebody try to make a change. So a way to say it is, come and smell these flowers. It's like, nah, I'm okay. One would be like, hey, here, get this free thing. I'm okay. But when we say like, this will solve this problem, you're going through this problem, you're feeling this thing, come and get this, it'll change it. Then people are like, whoa, he knows me. He knows what I'm going through. And so I call it the difference between positive advertising and negative advertising, which might not be the best way to word it. But when we say, like, when we're talking about leadership and all the plus sides, people are like, oh, yeah, if I get time, I might listen to that. It seems like might be valuable. But when we're talking about the negative side and advertising it using the things that we're struggling with, the psychographic stuff, the time and money, then people are like, now he knows what I'm going through and he can solve my problem. I'm going to be fine. But we have to, a way that I always say it is like, we have to put salt in the wound. They are feeling the wound. We've got to kind of be that doctor who says, does it hurt when I do this? Does it hurt when I do this? And then we can say, like that doctor says, you need to get an x-ray, or you need a cast, or you need a ibuprofen or whatever. It's like, okay, the doctor knows what I'm going through and he spent that time to understand me. He does understand me. He does understand my problem. Now I trust his prescription. So really, really good stuff. I think we're a lot more motivated by the negative part than we are on the positive part.
So I've been overweight my whole life. Always very handsome, but just slightly
extremely rotund. Handsome.
Thank you for noticing. Extremely. Yeah, I know it's a podcast. Not everybody's going to be able to see my baby blues dance, but nonetheless.
I think to the imagination, people are like, what are his baby blues? What is he talking about?
They're my eyes. Okay. Wonderfully Scandinavian. And in all this, if you're preaching to people who are overweight that you should live a healthier lifestyle and that you should diet and exercise, it really falls on deaf ears because you've heard that message 1,000 times over. But if somebody has a heart attack, they are more motivated. Like motivation traditionally comes from deprivation, right? And if you can name what they're starving for and what they're hungry for and the pain that they're going through at that moment, they're going to be that much more motivated to actually make that change. And so getting specific in those things that you name are really, really important.
Good stuff. I love it. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, I want to go through just a couple more things that you've learned and a couple more things that you think you might be pivoting. So if the listener's close to where you are, maybe they're in their first 30 episodes or about to launch, they're pretty close to where you are. And any pivots, any changes, anything that you've learned in your first few weeks, couple months of podcasting, let's talk about that. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Eric Hatch from Hatch Coaching. He's serving real estate leaders to be able to buy back some of their time so they can make more money, basically being better leaders. But we want to use the negative part that we've been talking about on this episode so far. We've got lots of great takeaways just in the first part of today's episode. And I think a major part is as long as we've been doing something, and point to your own chest right now, because you are this person too. Eric may have been doing this for all of these years. 4 or 5 years ago, he may have written a book and published it. He may have sold thousands of copies. It may have been in front of some of the right people. He's coaching for years and years and years. And he still, and don't be mad at me, Eric, he still made a couple of mistakes after all of this. And he's learning now. He went from the 1% and then he tried to go to the 99%. Remember that takeaway? He said when he was talking to the 1%, he was also able to add value to the 99%. But when he tries to go more broad and talk to the 99%, he misses the boat. And no one ends up listening. And so there's already been quite a bit of things. Remember that dog whistle idea that he gave? What did that mean? It means that only very specific animal is tuned to this whistle. To everybody else, it's not even noise. I was going to say it's just noise, but to everybody else, we completely miss it. So he's learned over time and he's getting better and better and better at niching down, at focusing on the right person. Riches are in the niches, having a clear understanding of his avatar and using that dog whistle to go from everybody to real estate agents, from real estate agents to real estate team leaders, from team leaders to just the team leaders that are making $1 million+. And he's understanding the psychographics, what keeps him up at night. Instead of just saying, let me help you be a good leader, he says, your time and your money are valuable and either wasting one of them because you're screwed if you're successful because you now no longer have time. You're screwed if you're not successful because you no longer have money. And I asked him before we took this little break, what do you want to share? And he's got something to share with you that's going to help you regardless of which niche you're in. If you're podcasting, a little bit of advice that's going to support you that he's learned in the beginning stages of his podcast. Eric, let's turn it over to you. What does the listener need to know?
If you're dreaming of doing a podcast, you're not as good as you think you are in the beginning. And even if you're going after it, you're probably, and I'm just guessing you're going to be similar to me. And I've had a microphone in my hand for decades. I used to be in the ministry. And so I had a chance to preach and teach really regularly. And now I've had a radio show for 10 plus years. I'm super comfortable with a microphone and I understand the flow of how it goes. However, for me, I recognize that I recorded my first 3 episodes and I listened to them and I got feedback from some of my trusted team members. And I think that that's a learned lesson in and of itself is don't let your own ego get in the way of what you're actually putting out and make sure that you have some truth tellers around you to tell you, hey, here are the 2 or 3 things that I think you could do better or different. That has been transformational for me is to get feedback from people who have my best interest in mind. And so as I sat with them, as we leaned in together, they didn't love what was first put out there because it felt like it was all on the surface. And everybody's going to be different. For me, my greatest joys come from the ability to peel the layers of the onion back and to get at the core of what's actually there. Surface level feels like that's where everybody else lives. And I didn't want to be like everybody else. I don't want the results of everybody else. I don't want to remain in that same kind of area. And so I had to make sure that I was doing 2 things correctly. Number one, that I was preparing my guest for where we were going to go. That has been a really important learned lesson. The first 3 episodes, we simply had a conversation and they didn't go, like we didn't go in the same direction. They wanted to talk all about business. I find great joy in talking about the big messes, the flaws, the pains that they went through to actually learn the lesson. And so because I didn't prep them well enough, because I didn't ask the right questions before the microphone ever pressed record, because I didn't set myself up for them to win. I failed my guest because we were going in different perceived directions. So mistake number 1 was that. Mistake number 2 is I took their answers as truth. And that sounds like it's the right thing to do. However, I had the privilege of hiring hundreds of people over the course of my entrepreneurial career. And as I hire people and they give me an answer, my favorite response and rebuttal is, tell me more. And I believe that insecurity flexes, meaning insecurity, when you're not confident in where you're going, you will overtalk in situations in which should or could just be super quiet and wait for them to find their way. And so, were they telling me non-truths? No, but they were only telling me partial truths. And I would fill in that space with my incoherent ramblings because I was uncomfortable with the quiet. And instead, you can ask a simple question. If I was talking with Adam and the situation was reversed and I was the host and Adam gave me an answer that was fine, but I wanted more than it, I should just be quiet and say, well, tell me more. Give me a little bit, like help me understand where you were coming from. And peel back all those opportunities to see what's actually behind the surface. And instead, in the first 3 episodes, I just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked because I'm like, well, I'm the host and I got to fill in this space. And I was insecure with where I was going because I didn't prep them in the first place. So we weren't rowing the boat together in the first place. And then as this went on, Adam, I was like, oh, shoot, I need to be a vehicle for them to get to the end instead of me being the destination in the first place.
Really, really cool. I love that. Some great takeaways, and I appreciate the insight. So one thing that he is saying, what that Erica is saying is when somebody's answering, this was number 2, when somebody's answering, they might answer this or that, and he goes and just says, tell me more about that. Let's dive deeper. It made me think of, what's his name? Chris Voss. He wrote a book called Never Split the Difference. And I was in a mastermind group where he came in and spoke for us. And what was really interesting, he used this thing called the last 3 words, Eric, that I think we can probably use on our podcast. We could do it anywhere. But what it does is, when someone says finishes a sentence, you just say whatever the last 3 words that they were. And it's similar to tell me more, but it's just a second option to do it. And the leader of the mastermind says, hey, what about this thing with the last 3 words? And Chris was there and he goes, last 3 words? And there then the guy that was leading the group was like, well, yeah, you said blah, 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 blah. And then this and this. And I thought that you meant that. And the whole group, not everyone in the group, I was one of them though. He literally just did it to you, bro. And so I think that that's great. Finding creative ways, like tell me more about that, using the last 3 words maybe. And we'll link to Chris Voss's book in our show notes too. I thought that was brilliant because they're only giving you part of the answer. And then the first one you said is just to be able to prepare the guest. And you did a great job here with me today. And it wasn't recorded. It's not going to be part of the episode. But I want to share with the listener what you did. You jumped in to recording with me and you were intentional about something. So if I was going to miss it, you were going to get it anyway. Mm-hmm. You come to my podcast as a guest. Do you remember one of your main question that you
are you saying? I said, like, who's your target audience? What's the goal of today?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Who's your target audience? What's the goal today? You do it as a host and you do it as a guest. And I think that's brilliant. I think that's really something that the listener can gain. Because you said that you want to peel back the onion, you want to get to the sauce, you want to figure it out. And you asked feedback from people and they were like, it's too surface level. Well, how did you fix that? You prepared the guest and you made the guest go deeper.
Yeah. In fact, I didn't just prepare them. And you did the exact same thing. When we went to break, you said, okay, do you know where we're going to go? And I said, yes, I know. And you said, well, where are we going to go? You literally got my answer. So I didn't blindside you. Instead of just saying, okay, he knows where he's going to go and I'm going to trust that he's going to get there. I do the same thing with my guests, Adam. I'll find out what stories they're comfortable sharing. And then I ask them, like, I had a gal who is this massively successful team leader. She's running a multi-million dollar business and she's in her mid-40s. She's on her fourth marriage. Okay. That obviously comes with an interesting level of shame and self-deprecating humor, which I'm so grateful for her transparency on that. And each one of them had their own unique stories. And so I'm asking her, how comfortable are you with me exploring these? She's like, I'm an open book. And I said, awesome. But I knew, because she's a friend, I knew of her third marriage, which was a very violent marriage. And I said, can we go there? Can we talk about this? And she said it was one of the first times that she had ever talked about that publicly outside of her really tight-knit friends and family group, but she felt called to talk about that. Since that episode aired a couple of weeks ago, she's had literally a half dozen people say, like, oh my gosh, your strength told my story in a different version of it. I saw myself in your story. You said what nobody else is willing to say. And Adam, the only way that we got there is my favorite episode that we've recorded. If you check out the Redefine podcast, it's my interview with Heather Cook, who thought she was going to die at the hands of her ex-husband. She went there. And the only way she got there was because I had to create a safe place for her. And I had to get permission instead of blindsiding her. Because this microphone will freeze up most people. And if they're willing to go there, once you press record, it's our job to handle it with white gloves.
Well, in this case with Heather, it's Heather, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, I didn't want to call her the wrong name. In this case with her, and I'm curious because it could go either way. Did you ask her prior to recording or did you ask her during the recording, knowing that if she said no, you could just edit it out?
I asked her prior to, because my intent was to unpack some stuff that made her get off of a practiced recording. This is my favorite thing to do when hiring. And I think it just translates itself to me as a podcaster now is I don't want the same regurgitated answer that they've given 1,000 times over because there's no emotion with it. There's no, like, that's our own varied story of the truth. And my goal is to ask enough good questions or to stay quiet enough and simply say things like, tell me more, or last three words, as Chris Voss would do, to get that person to start to all of a sudden find themselves in a place that is unfamiliar, not because they didn't live it, but because they haven't visited it in so long. And that is, I think, what creates such compelling things for our audience is when we can pull people off of that.
I want to ask you, with those three episodes that you recorded, you didn't end up using. Well, that can sound scary. That can sound scary for the listener. We might be wondering, did you expect to do that? Did you purposely record a few episodes and not want to publish them? Did it only come because you asked for that feedback and you were open for the feedback because it was kind of more surface level? Just thinking through this, and I have three more clear questions, if you don't mind, as we end today's episode and get to the solo episode that follows it, to just answer these three questions for us. When you wasted three episodes, A, how did you feel inside when you did effort and time and work, but then had to scrap them? B, How, and by the way, these are in the meeting chat. So if you want to have them in front of you, yeah. Eric, because I'm asking you three questions at a time.
I see them. Yeah.
So the second one is, how did those guests feel? Like if you recorded and you had people and they might have felt like they completely wasted their time with you, you're the screw up. Why did you put me there? And the third follow-up question about these three wasted episodes is, how should our listener feel? When I say our listener, how should another podcast feel if they have to scrap episodes?
Yeah. So how did I feel? I walked in as confident as the day is long when I started podcasting, thinking I was already the cock of the walk. And when I had some truth tellers be like, hey, that wasn't all that intriguing and wasn't very good, and you just stayed surface level, I felt like a cotton-headed Niggy Mummins. And I felt like—
Obviously, all of us know what that is.
Yeah.
We've heard about it. Cotton-headed—
Niggy Mummins. It's from the movie Elf. It's what—
Okay.
I have young kids and I'm still a giant toddler at heart. So it works perfectly. So I felt pretty foolish. I felt pretty deflated. And yet it was such a great gift because I was able to get clarity on the direction I wanted to go. I think some people get in 20, 30, 40 episodes, and then maybe they realize, hey, this isn't as good. And we use the judgment of either nobody's listening or I'm not getting feedback from people. And remember, my niche is not a huge multi-Joe Rogan, multi-million platform type of I'm going to be on everybody's dining room table. It is instead a chance for me to say, I'm going to speak to this one specific niche and I'm going to find my value in that. And so I felt foolish, but I'm also really grateful. My guests, I had to go back to all my guests, Adam, the first three, and be like, hey, I sucked. I'm sorry. I was no good. Would you do me the honor of, would you be willing to, because I want this to be really great for people to hear your story. And I didn't feel like I did a good enough job of setting the stage to help you to really shine. And hopefully they didn't take it personally. I tried to make it all about me in that, but their perception of it is out of my hands. And the listener, I think, is blissfully unaware, except for your audience now that has said, okay, Eric re-recorded his first three episodes.
My real question is, how should a podcaster listening today, because obviously if they didn't hear it, then they're probably not going to know, but our listener today, they are getting a takeaway from you. Like, if I have to waste episodes, how should I feel is really the real question there.
Yeah. I've been golfing pretty mightily for the last 15 or so years. And no matter how great you get at the game, and I'm not great at the game, but no matter how great you get at the game, there's still room and area to improve. And so this is an art. It's not a science. No matter what people can take from what you say or what I say, if they don't know how to deliver really well, it just doesn't matter. And I am striving to be better, but I am so far from perfect. And the moment I think I've arrived is the moment I failed.
I think we can definitely leave this episode off that way. That's a good place to end. To the listener, everything from Eric Hatch. So if you want to look at his coaching, or if you have a friend that could use his coaching and support, and you've learned a lot from him and you know that he's going to be able to support you, his website for coaching is in the show notes. Additionally, if you want to check out his podcast, Redefine, we put that book link in the show notes. Any books, any websites we talk about on our podcast, we always make sure that those are in the resource section so that you can easily go and find them. And on top of all that, if he had any social media that he wanted to be able to connect with you on, we put that in the show notes so you could find his LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever it was that he wanted to share. And so I'm hoping that I can see you on the next episode, and we will talk to you soon.
If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.